I want to get to a point, and I want to talk specifically to the Ashtabula Church, okay? So if you're watching at home, I want you to know, although you're going to enjoy the message and get something from it, I'm talking primarily, specifically to our church. If you have your Bibles and would stand with me, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I'm reading through it right now, one chapter a day, reading it multiple times. If you ever want to learn anything about life, about how to be a better parent, about how to be a better husband, a better wife, a better saint of God, a better citizen of the United States, take some time and read the book of Proverbs, written by the wisest man that ever lived. But we're going to start in Proverbs 13 and 4, and I'm going to read this to you. It says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." The soul of the sluggard desireth and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. If I was to put a title on what I want to talk to you for about the next few short minutes, it's this: willing to work for it. Willing to work for it. Thank you for standing. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Brother Matthew, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this message?
Gracious Father, Lord, we love you. God, we're thankful for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with on this Sunday. God, we especially thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we feel here in this room, Lord. God, we ask that your blessing is upon this service, Lord. God, that you lead Pastor Klein strictly into your presence, Lord, to speak into the lives, into the situations of your people, Lord. God, may each of us, Lord, just set aside the distractions of the day, God, so we can focus in on you and your word and what you have for us. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. Those of you that are still standing, you can be seated. Proverbs 13 and 4, I want to read it one more time. We're going to read several scripture passages from the book of Proverbs, but this one says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." How many here this afternoon desire something? Now, we're going to get spiritual, but right off the bat, we can take this scripture and use it in a carnal sense, a natural sense, just a relative sense, as well as a spiritual sense. The scripture says, and I'm going to take out the word sluggard because that's a biblical word that we don't use in our vernacular nowadays. The soul of the lazy desires. They have a wish list. They have a want list. They've got a whole bunch of prayer requests. They're always focused on the things that they want, whether it could be natural. I need a new job. I want this. I want that. I want this. I was listening to a speaker this week, and he said, "You want to know why you're discouraged?" He said, "Because it's impossible to be encouraged when you focus on yourself." This is the way the scripture says it. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. So when you have nothing today and all you thought about was what you wanted, tomorrow gets even worse because you wake up with nothing and it starts the cycle all over again. How many of you have ever thought these thoughts? If only I had this, then everything would be better. Let me give you a study that was done many years ago and still holds true today. Some of you have heard this, but you understand where I'm going. They did a study across many generations, across many income levels, across many ethnicities, and they went to people and simply asked them this question: how much money would you need to feel comfortable? That's everybody's prayer request in church. I don't want to be rich. I would just like to feel comfortable. I would not have to worry about monthly bills. I would not have to worry about deciding whether I was going to pay the utilities or pay for my prescription. Am I talking to anybody today? Do you know what the study found? you would think that what the study would find is the person that's already making what you would desire to have to feel comfortable, you would think that they would just say, oh, I don't need anything more. I am comfortable. But across every income level, let me break it down for example. They asked people that made $10 an hour, how much do you need to feel comfortable? Their response was double. If I made $20 an hour, I'd be comfortable. Kind of coincidental that when they went to the person that makes $20 an hour, what was their answer? 40. When they went to the person that made 40, their answer was 80. Across every income level, every age, all genders, every socioeconomic and ethnic group that they asked, their answer was, if I had twice as much as I have, then I'd be comfortable. And the truth of it is if they had twice, they would not be comfortable. Because the Bible says it this way, he, and that could be she, that loveth silver cannot be satisfied with silver. I say this to my wife sometimes, and she looks at me like most wives look if their husband ever says this. I said, you don't solve money problems with money. And she's like, why don't you quit preaching and give me some money? But the scripture says the lazy or the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent. Anybody in here diligent? Let me paraphrase that for you. The soul of the faithful, the soul of the consistent, the soul of the reliable, the soul of the hardworking, the soul of the faithful, the soul of the steadfast shall be made fat. Now, don't look at me, some of you, because you're going to laugh when I say this. And if you laugh, it's proof that you're guilty. If you heard the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, and you looked up here and said, well, you must be diligent. I see you, meanies. Sister Carter makes fun of me all the time in Bible study. And then she can't stop laughing about it. Turn with me. I want to make a foundational point. Turn with me to Proverbs 10 and 4. I'm going to just illustrate this by giving you the mouth of two or three witnesses. If you have your Bibles, read along with me. If not, look at the screen. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I hope you understand by the time that we get through this that I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about money. Proverbs 19 and 15, it says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Proverbs 14 and 23, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty. You know what that scripture can be paraphrased to say? It's better to actually do something than it is to talk about doing something. Can I get one amen? It's better to show a little bit of gumption and a little bit of action than to have the best laid plans and never stand up and do anything. The Bible says in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips, anybody ever guilty of talking of the lips? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Sunday's a great day to get motivated. And every Sunday, people come to houses of worship, and they get excited about what they're going to do for God, and it's a whole different story Monday morning at 5 o'clock when you hear, Anybody say, I'm going to get up and walk every morning. And you're like, I'm going to start on Tuesday. I got to recoup from the long, I had a day off last week, so that made it harder. Anybody complain about that? Anybody that work have Labor Day off, and then you said the week that you only had to work 4 days was actually harder because you had the day off? Be honest in the house of God. Raise your hand. The talk of the lips leads to poverty. Turn with me to Colossians 3:23. This is New Testament. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said this. He said, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." I say this to working people, and I am a working person. I am not paid for by my ministry. I have a secular job. Matter of fact, I have two of them, and my wife works a secular job. And I've told people this for a long time. Sometimes the answer to your spiritual needs is found in your carnal actions. I'm going to be plain. I'm going to get some of you mad at me today before we get to the point, and then I'll get you back on my side. If you are a professed Christian, you call yourself a child of God, the way you conduct yourself on your job is not dictated by your labor union. It is dictated by the Word of God. And the Scripture says, whatsoever you do, whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. I should be getting a couple more of these and a few less of these. Sometimes we struggle spiritually because we haven't acted appropriately naturally. God will not bless over disobedience. So when people come to me and are always having struggles in finding employment, I don't take them down to temp corps. I take them to the Word of God and say, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Let me give you some tangible examples. It costs nothing to be on time. I should be getting more amens in a house of God. It costs nothing to put a smile on your face at your job. It costs nothing extra for you to walk up to people and instead of say, to say, good morning, good morning. It's nice to see you. When your boss comes up and says, can you stay? You shouldn't say this. No, blankety blank, bleep, 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 bleep. You should work heartily as unto the Lord. Would you talk to the Lord like that if he walked up? I heard a comedian this week. He made me laugh. He said, I'm also a minister in my church. And he said, this week I was making phone calls and I discovered that some of my members are part-time Christians. He said, because I called Sister so-and-so, and she must not have recognized the number, because she picked up the phone, and before I could say anything, she said, what the blank do you want? And he said, Sister, this is Brother so-and-so from down the church. And she said, oh, praise the Lord. And he said, that's when I realized some people are part-time Christians. The sluggard desires, but doesn't have anything. But the diligent soul, the diligent hand, the one that's faithful all the time, the one that shows up when nobody shows up, the one that says, you know what? I don't come to church to receive. I come to the house of God to give. I don't come in to get a blessing. I walk in this building to be a blessing to someone else. That soul shall be made fat. Do you realize that it's no coincidence that when Jesus began to call his disciples, if you study Scripture, we're going to read a couple instances. He called men that were already busy working. You don't believe me? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. These scriptures are also on the screen. It says this, chapter 4 and verse 18 of the book of St. Matthew. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus walks down the Sea of Galilee. He sees two fishermen fishing. They're already working. And he says, pray for your pastor that he learns how to read. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I like their response. And they straightway. When's the last time we as saints of God did something straightway? I watched it happen in this place just a few moments ago. There were some people that said, you know what? I came here to worship the Lord, and I'm going to worship him straightway. I'm going to worship him right now. Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. Let's keep reading. And going on from thence, Jesus saw another two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They were already working. They were busy. They were mending nets. If any of you have ever known anybody that fishes, and I'm not talking about like me that has a bobber and a worm and goes to a farm pond, these were professional commercial fishermen. They didn't go out and not care if they caught anything. They made their livelihood by fishing. It's a difficult job. I'm not telling you to watch TV, but if you do, watch Deadliest Catch. Have any of you ever seen that? Okay, that's what they did. And they did it 2,000 years ago, where if you went overboard, you just became chum. Jesus sees them mending their nets with their father, verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Jesus. They literally dropped the nets in the boat with their dad and said, peace. And went and followed Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Well, it's easy if you're a fisherman, you're not giving up anything. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew, or Levi, as he's also called in Scripture, was a publican. He was a tax collector, and that's what he was doing. Jesus walked right into his job at the receipt of custom. The publicans had absolutely nothing to do with the Jews. The publicans were hated by the Jews. Jesus, being the king of the Jews, walks directly up to him at work and says, follow me, and Matthew leaves his job. Anybody have kids? Anybody ever have to be the voice of reason for kids? Let me tell you something. I had a son. I still have him. I mean, I didn't kill him. Very intelligent. Both of my sons, very intelligent in the things of academia. In the things of real life, yeah. But my son had a plan his whole high school career of what he was going to do. He had a full-ride scholarship, academic scholarship, didn't have to pay a dime to go to school. Had a full-time job. Every job he ever had, they promoted him into management. He comes home and tells my wife and I that he's made a change of plans. He went on two missions trips. He went to Haiti, and he went to Japan to do missionary work for the church with the Apostolic Youth Corps. He's like, I think I'm going to be a full-time missionary. I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to be like, praise God. I'm like, dude ain't going to make no money doing that. So me and my wife are like, well, we'll pray about it. And we went behind the bedroom door, and we're like, we got to find a way to talk. This knucklehead don't know what in the world he's talking. He going to go to Haiti? He was there for a week. He came back. The next week, they had a rebel uprising, and a missionary group got kidnapped. And I told my wife, I said, what would you have done if that was his group while she was down? She's like, I'd have drove to Haiti. I was like, you wouldn't have got very far because. But we talk a lot. The Bible says the talk of the lips leads to poverty. But the hand or the soul of the diligent, the faithful, the ones that are willing to work for it. One more carnal thing, and then I'm going to get to the spiritual things to close this sermon out. I'm going to tell you how your pastor feels. And if you differ with me, this is America. You have every right to be wrong. The vast majority of Americans that are wealthy are self-made. Amen. There's a very small segment of people who are ultra wealthy that have gained all of their wealth through inheritance. Nothing that they did. But the vast, vast, vast majority of doctors and lawyers and architects and physicians and surgeons are individuals that are self-made. They made a choice to further their schooling by 12 and 16 years. They took jobs that nobody else wanted to do. They started businesses and worked 120 hours a week for 20 years before they saw a dime. Many of the millionaires that we now patronize started with nothing, and they worked their way to where they are now. And if you look at them with disdain, you are the problem and not them. I told both of my children growing up, don't you dare, don't you ever let me hear you complaining about the kid that you went to school with that became a doctor because you could have been a doctor. So he did what was necessary to be done. Don't you dare say, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. It's simply not true. The Bible says that the sluggard desires. Well, if I had that, I'll give you the example I was going to tell you. We had a couple in our church. My wife and I had a couple in our church. My wife was really close with the wife, and sometimes when that happens, the husband has to be close with the husband, whether he wants to be or not, because the wives want to go out together, and the husbands are like, I don't want to. Go to ladies' conference. Spend all day. I don't care. Just don't come home and tell me about it. So we would date with this couple. Don't shake your head at me, Kim. This lady worked herself to death. She worked at a very difficult job. She was the manager of a retail store, and she worked 70, 80 hours a week and made literally not much at all. Her husband would not work at all. And she would come home from work, and she would hit the door, and he'd say, what's for dinner? So she knew how I believed. She knows how I teach. She came to me and she said, I'm going to divorce him. And I said, no, you're not. And my wife took me behind the door and she's like, you need to shut up and let him get it. He's a dirtbag. And I'd say, no, the Bible tells you can't do that. You got to work with him. You got to do this. So every day I'm burdened by her continual coming. Not her, my wife. You need to talk to him. 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 And I said, would you get off my back? I got a hard enough time. I ain't a marriage counselor. I'm a preacher. So I called this guy and I said, listen, you need to get a job. Your wife's killing herself. I said, I'll tell you what. He goes, you know any place that's hiring? I said, the restaurant that I used to work at, I will take you there. I will interview for you. He had a problem. He couldn't read very well. I said, I'll fill your application out. I'll talk to my old friend that's the manager. You'll have a job you can start tonight. And I did just that. I took him to the restaurant. We sat down with the manager. I said, this guy wants to work, and he wants all the extra hours. So even on his day off, if you need someone come in and pressure wash the building, that's the guy. If you need someone to come in and clean out the dumpster pad, that's the guy. If you need a guy to drive to Boardman and pick up supplies, this is your guy. He's ready to work. Start him tonight and work the daylights out of him. He wants to work 16 hours a day every day. They hired him on the spot. I went home all happy. Not that he got a job. I finally got my wife off my back. That was on like a Tuesday. Sunday, how many of you believe that restaurants are busy on Sunday? Sunday, I walk into church, and I was teaching the youth at that time, and I walked back to my youth class, and we had a hallway that went to the classrooms, and I'm walking down the hallway, and as I looked, I just glanced in this room, and I see this gentleman in that room. And it caught me odd because I know they needed help on Sunday. So I walk in and I sit down and I start getting my lesson together. And he walks in behind me and he pulls the door closed behind him, which is never a good sign. And he says, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, what's going on? I said, why aren't you at work? He said, that job is for animals. I said, well, what do you mean? They don't have, he's like, no, I quit. So immediately, the diligent soul has to be faithful. They can't choke everybody that they want to. I said, what do you mean you quit? And he starts to explain it. I said, do you not understand? That's the very job I started at. I know exactly what, I vouched for you. And he looked at me and he said, well, if I had a cushy job like yours, I said, I can't help you no more. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I said all that to make a point. Our scripture reading is done, so you can shut your Bibles if you want. I have two questions I want to ask this church. Are you ready? I want your attention if this is your home church. I'm going to ask you a point blank question, and I don't want you to yell out an answer. I want you to think about it. What is it that we as a church really want? What do we really want? As a church, what do we really want? I'm going to read some things that I wrote down. I'll let you say some, Sister Carter. Because what we think we want is we want a new building. What we think we want is we want our parking lot paved. What we think we want is we want to paint the exterior. I'll tell you one of the things I really want. It's a bad example right in the given moment. I want to cut every one of these trees down. Every single one of them. As a matter of fact, if God gave me my way, I'd cut every tree down in the world. There would be no trees. How are you going to breathe? I don't care. God can figure out a way. I would cut down every tree. I see no good to trees, nothing. Don't tell me how beautiful they are if you don't come help rake the leaves here. Okay? Quit telling me how beautiful fall is if you never clean the gutters out. Quit talking about it. I love trees in the fall. Then you can come pick the sticks up. All right, that's a side note. I forgive you. Forgive me for being... Well, good. Come cut them down and make all the houses. We'll build houses for the homeless. I don't care. Just cut all these down. They make houses for squirrels in the condition they're in, and then they get in the gutters. Quit getting me off on track. I was making a good point. What do we really want? Do we want it to just be what it's always been? Let me get real. Let me get down to what I'm talking about. We had people in this service this afternoon that came up for prayer for serious issues. Where should they go? Shouldn't it be to the house of God? Shouldn't what God's children need be found in His house? And I'm not talking about padded pews and air conditioning. I'm talking about, shouldn't families that are on the verge of splits that will never be corrected be able to find the restoring power of the Holy Ghost in the house of God? Shouldn't the drug addict who's gone to every clinic, who's done methadone, who's tried everything that the world told them, they've been to everything that has an A after it, AA and NA and all the other A's, and they're still putting needles in their arms on Saturday night, shouldn't they be able to walk into the house of God and find deliverance? Shouldn't the sinner that knows they're on their way to hell, they don't need a hardcore message of hellfire and brimstone. They know when they walk through the doors that if the trumpet sounded, they're not going. Shouldn't they be able to find salvation in the house of God? That's what we should want. Now, the second question is more important than the first. What are we going to do about it? The sluggard desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent, the soul of the faithful, the soul of the reliable will be made fat. The lazy church wants and has nothing. The diligent church shall be made fat. Just like I told you, I didn't want my kids ever bad-mouthing people that did more than they did to get where they are. We don't need to look at the church across the street and talk about them. What we need to do is say, you know what? Today, I'm putting my shoulder to the wheel. I'm filling out my application. I'm not quitting. I'm not calling off. I'm not taking a mental health day. I'm checking in every day. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to have the right spirit, and I am going to work for the kingdom of God, because what I want depends on my diligence. So I want you to think about that. 4 minutes ago, it was real quiet in here. What do you want? I know what some of you want because you've told me. I'm not going to out you. I'm not going to list your prayer requests up on the screen. Some of you have come to me with some serious, serious issues. And I'm going to ask you again directly, what are you willing to do about it? Pastor, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm telling you point blank. If you do exactly what you've done up to this point, there's no other thing to expect than to receive exactly what you've already received. But if you want something different, so let me be plain. Some of us need to fast more. A church that has desires the most visited service of the week ought to be Monday night prayer. That's all right. I'll say it again. A church that has wants, a church that has desires, a church that wants to be full should be full on Mondays more than Sundays. A church that says, pray for my family, you ought to be going to God in prayer yourself for your family. And then when you get up from that prayer, you ought to conduct yourself differently around your family. You should be the Bible that they read. Your lifestyle should be the epistle written in their heart, known and read of all men. I want us to have some kids in the church. The diligent soul says, you know what? I've got a minivan that I'm riding around Ashtabula paying $3 a gallon for gas, and I'm pulling into the church with just me and no more. What you need to do is wake up 15 minutes early and drive through that neighborhood and throw the side doors open and say, kids, do you want to go to church? Pastor, what you just said is kidnapping. I'm not saying just grab them. Can you be honest with me for 1 second, and then we're going to be done? I'm going to ask you a point-blank question. If Jesus Christ descended from heaven right now and was standing next to Pastor Mike, and he descended into this building to give you what you deserved, what would you get? The scripture said, the diligent soul shall be made fat. The faithful church, the church that won't stop working, the church that will continue to do what a church is supposed to do, or if I shouldn't say continue, the church that will decide today to start doing what the church is supposed to do will receive tenfold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in this life and the life to come. Your kids need you to be tied in to what the church is doing. Your grandkids need you to be connected to the spiritual things of the church. Your health needs you to be serious with God more so than you've ever been. The world needs the church to decide to be the church. Amen. And there's no easy way to do it. Some of you need to find an altar and connect with God and not get up until you and God have spoken today. Some of us need to push back the plate. Some of us need to fast from them electronic things that we carry around in our pocket. Some of us, it would do us good to turn Netflix off. Let me prophesy to some of us, and I'm going to speak to myself. It might do some of us some good to not watch Ohio State football every Saturday and Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers football every Sunday, but take a step back and spend some time with God in prayer. More so than that, it might help us to have enough time after service instead of running out so we can see how our fantasy team is doing to have time to love on somebody in the building that we know is struggling. But the talk of my big, ugly, spitting lips leads to nothing if we don't do something. You You can get all the motivational speeches you want. I can Joel Osteen you all you want. And at the end of the day, nothing changes if nothing changes. So I'm going to ask you again, who's willing to work at it? Who's willing to say, you know what, Pastor? You can count on me. Who's willing to say, you know what? I'm going to start a prayer chain. And I'm praying an hour a day, whether I feel anything or not. Pastor, I've never heard of that. Who's willing to read the Bible and immediately and straightway respond to what you read? Peter, Andrew, James, and John had never been called to follow somebody. But when they did, when they felt the Spirit of the Lord move by them, they immediately said, you know what? I'm with that. I know deep down inside of all of you, you want with everything in you, you want to see this church grow. You want to see your children and grandchildren sitting next to you, but you're caught in the valley of decision. You're leaning real close. But every time we get so motivated, we get right to here, and then somehow we fall right back into what we're doing. I'm asking, is there one person today that says, I'm willing to work for it. I'm willing to do what I've never done before so that I can see what I've never seen before. I want to see what you're talking about. The diligent soul shall be made fat. I'm done. I've made my point probably a little bit harder than I wanted to. I'm going to read the opening scripture one more time. It says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Who is willing today to raise your hand, and I mean physically in the sight of man and God, and say, I'm willing to work for that? I appreciate those that have their hands up. Here's how we work. You ready? Pastor, you don't understand. I'm 70 years old. You don't have to kneel. You can be just as effective like this. Matter of fact, you can be just as effective as this. But I'm asking you right now to open the places in your mind and in your spirit that have locked the move of God out for years and let God in. Let him speak to you. Let him call you. And when he does, I want you to immediately respond to him. Sign up for what God wants to do. And then lock arms with like-minded brothers and sisters. And let's push our way through to a new dimension in this place. For those of you that raise your hand, I'd invite you to the altar at this time. We don't have to wait on them to sing. We don't have to know what chord they're going to play and what song they're going to sing. For those of you in the valley of decision, I'm asking you today, decide today. Today is a day of decision where it doesn't have to be how it's always been. This place can be a place that none of us even know where we're going, but we know as long as God's leading, if we follow, we'll end up where we want to be. Pray to him, love him, talk to him, communicate with him. If you're on cloud nine, pray with someone that you know needs encouragement and be willing to work for what God wants to do in Jesus' name.
I surrender all to everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. withholding nothing. I surrender.
Thank you.
Say something to everybody that can hear me. There's a place for you in this church. There's a home for you in this church. We don't have it all figured out. And if you wait 5 years and the Lord tarries, guess what? We're not going to have it all figured out. That's why we come here. There's not a person in here that's perfect. There's not a person in here that's even really close. But if we'll decide that He's perfect and we'll be faithful to what He wants and what He's called us to do, the Bible says He's going to make the diligent fat. We're going to see things that we probably can't even imagine right now, but we're going to see it in this place. And it makes it all the more joyful if there's more of us here to see it. I thank You for being here. I appreciate You being here. For those of you today that made a start and went outside of your comfort zone, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Keep allowing God to speak to you. And who knows where He's going to take you. We're going to dismiss. These that are praying can feel led to continue to pray. We're in no hurry. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you back at the next appointed time. Please remember the picnic. We'd love to see you all there. Come have a good time with us. But let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, God, this afternoon, we appreciate Your Spirit that has inhabited this place. God, we appreciate the word that came forth and Your Spirit that has spoken to many hearts. God, we're thankful for the response of the saints. Lord, and we realize, Lord, that if we'll decide to put our shoulder to the wheel for the things of Your kingdom and the things that You want us to do, that You have all the reward with You. We love You, God. We thank You. We ask You to go with us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Love each other. Enjoy some fellowship with one another. I love you. Thank you for being here.